this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for Elite Pool Covers, saving you water today for tomorrow.
Good morning to you, Premier. Thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we're going to kick it off, Premier. Ask you, are you okay? We feel like you're getting a bit bullied and a bit attacked.
I'm fine. Yeah, no, I'm kind of used to that. So, no, I'm good.
Well, this is a really tricky one because, like, you know, since you've come out, I mean, there's been many difficult things you've had to cross in the last couple of years, but since you've said that you would like to open WA at 90% vaccinations rather than 80%, I've seen that, you know, that means COVID cases would occupy 70% less hospital beds, 75% fewer intensive care beds and 63% fewer deaths. But the argument from a lot of people I'm hearing on the street is, we're never going to get to 90%. Are we all going to be trapped in WA forever?
No. So we're going to be opening our border. We'll set up to New South Wales and Victoria. We'll set up a time exactly, but it'll be late January, early February, and that'll get locked in. So that's when it'll happen. The thing about it is this arrangement we're putting in place, waiting till we get to 90%, that'll save, we expect, around 200 lives. It'll mean we avoid putting in place all those restrictions like mask wearing and capacity limits and gathering limits and all that sort of thing over the Christmas holidays. It means that we can have a relatively normal Christmas at this point in time. We can go to Queensland or South Australia, Tasmania or Northern Territory. It's just not to New South Wales or Victoria or overseas.
Premier, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this particular point because this is something that I've been hearing from a lot of people and, you know, over the weekend especially, having conversations at parties and around the dinner table and stuff like that. And that is, why not just set a date nice and early, say we're going to open regardless, and then that might accelerate people going, oh, geez, we are going to open up really soon, like borders, everything, so I better go and have my jab.
We are setting a date. It'll be late January, early February. We'll give it an exact day when we get to 80%, so we're sure, pretty sure about when we get to 90%, so we'll have that line of sight. But our vaccination rates go up each and every day. You know, we're basically the same as Queensland, slightly behind South Australia, ahead of Northern Territory. Not as quick as New South Wales and Victoria, but then again, they've had, you know, lockdowns going on for months on end and no one going to school and hundreds of, if not thousands of people dying. So, look, we're in a very good position. It's really a matter of now 3 months before we open to New South Wales and Victoria, and we can do it safely and do something which is a world first, which will be a soft landing in which we come out of COVID with very few restrictions and we have very little, hopefully, very little of the health impacts they've had over East.
Well, I suppose because those that are vaccinated are kind of at the point now where they're going, well, look, you know, we've done the right thing. We're waiting and they don't feel like there's any threat in you opening up because basically if lives are lost now to people who are unvaccinated, they almost don't care is how it sounds. So now those who are unvaccinated moving forward, if they don't get vaccinated by the time we open up, are they ever going to be able to leave the state or get back in or will those restrictions remain for unvaccinated people forever?
The restrictions will be there for a long time, so that's interstate travel, international travel, restrictions on who can go to the football or concerts. Those sorts of things will be there for months, if not years. So those people who are unvaccinated will be making a choice that they don't want to do those things.
Premier, we had some wonderful news last week with little Cleo being found. If we can just change tack to something a little happier here. And you know what? Can I just back you in on something? Because I heard a lot of chat from people last week saying, what's the Premier doing up there? As far as I'm concerned, you lead the state and this was such a massive story. Everybody was so invested in it. It was great to see you get up there and put your arms around the family. But my only question is, have you delivered Cleo's new Barbie shoes that you broke yet?
They're on their way. I don't know if they're in the mail yet, but they're certainly going up there. I trod on her Barbie shoe and I broke one of them in half, which didn't go down well, considering. I didn't mean to. It just happened to, you know, I was kneeling down talking to her and I stood up and I took a step and there it was. So it made a loud crack too when I broke it. So it was noticed. I went up there to thank all the police officers because they'd been working for like 3 weeks around the clock and they solved this and it was extraordinary. So I was up there, the police minister was up there, the police commissioner, we all went up there. So that was the point of it. whilst I was there, you know, they asked the family if they'd like to see me, and the family said yes. So I went around and said hello. You know, I know you get a lot of criticism for doing these things. Perhaps if I hadn't done it, people would have criticised me. So in some ways, you can't win.
You can't make everybody happy. Hey, one more thing just before we let you go, Premier, because I'm going to be mentioning this next, and I'm interested to get people's thoughts. Do you think it's too early to put the Christmas tree up now that Halloween's all said and done?
Too early. In my view, too early.
Really? Mm. So when for you?
It's December. I think it's the 1st of December or something. We do it. But I don't particularly enjoy it because the whole thing is, you know, you try and put those poles in and it's all sticky. It's all itchy and all those. You always drop some of those things and they smash on the floor, you know, the bauble things.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan these days. But anyway, I'm made to do it each and every year.
But December. December's the time. You heard it December's here with the Premier, time. Pete.
December's the time.
All right, no worries. Mark, always a pleasure to chat to you. Have a good day, mate. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks very much. See you later.
We've got them, Mitch and Mark, winners of the block for 2021. Good morning and congratulations, guys.
Good morning, Pete and Kimber. How freaking exciting is that?
Oh, we're thrilled for you. I mean, look, guys, you walked to the beat of your own drum. You said, we're doing our house our way. And there was a lot of feedback from judges along the way saying that you were doing things wrong. Are you a little bit like, told you so now?
Well, we're cool with it. We stuck to our plan, and we're proud that we actually didn't get swayed by negativity. And they did acknowledge at the end that they had it wrong, and that they could see. But now they can see what we were planning. I'm just unfortunate as designers, they might not have been able to pick that a bit sooner. Mm. Wake up!
I know. I think you know that just gave us. We've got confidence that we understand real estate, and it's a real estate competition. It's a bigger picture.
Now, guys, Kimber and I have been having a bit of a passionate discussion this morning over the auction process. I'm going to play a bit of audio here. This is from part of the auction of your house.
4,444,444.
Rightio.
$4,044,000
a bit
now.
He's made the wrong bid, but it's good for you guys because it's nearly $650.
He's gone 44. Up like 25 grand.
He can have it.
Frank's gone, but you just got 650K.
Yeah, that was the audio of Danny Wallace, a Melbourne businessman, making another bid. He's bought a lot of block properties. He bought three houses yesterday, like he did last year. I think he's an absolute bell end for making the world's worst auction. But you guys benefited from it, didn't you?
Well, look, I might have judged Danny before. I'll never judge Danny again.
I think the way he was bidding, we could not follow in any of the auctions. You know, we're watching going, what? I don't understand that. And I love his, he did a bid, I think, on the big house that was like, it starts with a three and there's a five and a six and it ends. It's like, oh, Danny, what is the number?
But I couldn't think it's stand
quite
it.
Funny though, because he puts the people he's competing with off. But yeah. I think Frank, at the end, said, oh, look, you know, this is Frank was like, just stop. I've had enough. I'm not playing anymore.
My position on it is I think it's hilarious. And I'm like, I get it. Like, there's serious money being done here and it's an auction and it's a proper auction and, you know, like it. But I'm like, it's a TV show. I'm a viewer sitting at home. This is the stuff I'm watching it for. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the drama and everything through the season. I love watching the houses come together. But the auction is the day where I'm like, give me the juicy stuff. And this guy just makes it entertaining for me.
I think that's probably true, but if you're not standing in the auction,
no,
I follow it.
I think
if
it's
I was
a,
watching it. It's fun.
No, I hated it. I thought it was a classic example of just someone who's got far too much money going, I'm going to be a total bell end and everybody's going to let him do it because he's got cash. But I'm thrilled that you did well out of it. Now, you guys together, from your first season and this one, you've basically made $1 million off this show.
I know. How crazy is that?
Like, what's it done for you? What are you doing with it?
Well, the last time we actually haven't spent a bit of that money, but we didn't do anything with it. We had some sort of medical expense come up with our granddaughter initially, and plus we've both left corporate now, so it's been helping us keep afloat while we're developing our own new homewares and stuff. So this time, I know that the money can dwindle because I'm not cheap to run, so
you might have noticed his wardrobe. He's not cheap.
So it's going straight off the mortgage because we're in a home that we were going to renovate and then sell so that we could afford to buy the one we want. Now we might be able to stay in the house that we're living in, which is fantastic. Mm.
But the other thing I think we should do it is, then we need to get a whole range of T-shirts. I've got a new the T-shirts because we said to the twins, and we love them. We go, well, now we really can have, the teacher says, rich old snob, seriously.
I think it should be your brand label. I'd buy a cushion from that place.
I think it could be, actually.
Well, Mitch and Mark, hey, congratulations, you guys. $650,000 in winners of the Block 2021. Nice to chat to you. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you guys in WA. We'll come over to visit as soon as we can.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, guys. Good on you.
I want to take you back to a moment that I think we all carry in our hearts and in our stomachs because it was really relatable, the special moment from Titanic.
Jack! Jack! There's a boat, Jack. I'll never let go. I promise.
Oh, that heartache of Rose saying goodbye to Jack as the boat had sunk and she was laying there on the door. That's going to be me hanging on to, just clutching onto the debris that is our crappy boat at the Masters Regatta in the Hillary's Marina.
Why are you saying our crappy boat?
Because we haven't made a boat yet, Pete.
Yeah, I know, but we've got plenty of time.
No, hang on. Weeks ago you were like, I'm going to do this regatta. We're all across it. You told Matt and I that we needed to help you build a boat and we put scheduled time into our calendars that every Wednesday after the show we would build a boat.
Yes.
So I've put aside like 2 hours every Wednesday thinking we're going to build this boat because there's only 19 days till the event.
Right.
Last Wednesday, we didn't even meet up.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The Wednesday before.
But we were busy last Wednesday.
The Wednesday before, this is what happened.
Okay, so we've laid out the cartons. We've got the glue down. We've got the weights on top of the cartons. That glue's going to dry. Great. All right. Nice work, guys.
That's it. Tools down. I love working
Time for Smoko.
You.
Yeah. No, look,
we've been literally in here for 5 minutes and 12 seconds. You're the best boss ever.
Well, I just, you know. Yeah. I'm all about my workers.
When's the race again?
I create that. I don't know. God.
Hang on. Let's just work this out. If we do 5 minutes every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Until the regatta, how many minutes
so
is
that's
that
25
left?
25 minutes from now.
do we think that's enough to build a boat?
That will almost work.
Yeah.
I mean, we've
already got just about the hull done.
One layer, done. Give it time to set. This is the important bit, the foundations. You build a strong foundation, the rest will look after itself.
He's right.
Matt doesn't know how to build anything. He's the last person we should be taking advice from.
Yeah, I know, but he's building a great, happy working environment. That's what he's building.
Let me tell you where this has all gone pear-shaped, Pete. Right. Not only is the boat not ready, but Shani and Promotions gave us very strict instructions that the boat needed to be constructed in two parts in order to get it down the lift.
It's in
and
two parts.
And you have made it in one part and it cannot go down the lift nor down the stairs.
No, but I have a plan for that, right? So my plan... and I know everybody says that I don't have a plan. And because Shani in Promotions has been saying to me pretty much every day for about 2 months, have you started yet? Have you been to Bunnings to go and get your materials? And I know my answer has been no, not yet. It will happen, right? But I plan... The building of the SS Sausage Chair, which is the sausage, around the plank of wood. Now, I managed to get that plank of wood into the building. The sausage is not going to be much bigger than that plank of wood. And I just feel like if we can't get it down the stairs or out the elevator, we'll just drop it down the side of the building. Easy. We'll just get a couple of ropes and just crane it down the side of the building and everything will be fine. I've been in this before. I was the ultimate guy when it came to university. Ask my wife. She'll tell you because we were in a couple of uni groups together at Curtin. I was the ultimate guy. Everybody was like, where's your part of the assignment? Where's your part of the assignment? Where's your part of the assignment? Night before, bang, I deliver the entire thing. I know what I'm doing.
Okay. So
just run with me.
Trust you.
Yes.
I hope that the other teams in the Masters Regatta are doing a lot better with their boat builds than what we are.
I'm sure they are, but they've had more time. They've had like 2 years of COVID to be working on
this. We're going out in the boat wearing audio equipment, Pete.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got mics and headphones and expensive gear that is all going to end up in the water if we don't float.
Just picture yourself like you're on the front of the Titanic and your arms are out. and just take a deep breath of that sea air in and go, hold me, Jack. Everything's going to be fine.
Hold me, Jack.
And I'm Jack. The Masters Regatta is coming. It's going to be amazing. Jeez, only 19 days, eh?
Oh, dear.
You better get a move on.
To hear Pete, Matt and Kimber for longer, listen to another one of their podcasts. And to swim warmer for longer, get an Elite pool cover. Mix 94.